solitary bees. In May, the flowers are making a welcome return, clamoring with colour, blossoming out from every nook and unkempt corner, bulking up the hawthorn hedges, thick with earnest wrens and noisy blackbirds, making and maintaining nests. Clambering vetches reach out over delicate dog violets and sidle up to the bright upright orchids, each flower beckoning the bees who carouse over the cornucopia of sweet nectar on offer. And just as flowers come in many shapes and sizes, combinations of colour and adaptations for every situation, the bees who pollinate them too are cut from many cloths. An enormous bumblebee alights on a tall blue bugle flower, a buzzing bundle of golden ginger hairiness. A carder bee filling up the pollen baskets on her legs, fulfilling her loyal duty to her many sisters back home in a nearby nest. Carder bees are one type of native bumblebee, whose lone queens emerge in spring to begin their little empire, gradually raising a team of nimble workers to maintain the nest and rear the young ones yet to come. But aside from the 21 species of bumblebee found across Ireland, we have lots of less sociable bees, those who don't live in colonies and don't have hierarchies that differentiate between workers and queens. Most of these bee species don't even share their dwellings with others of their kind. These are what are called the solitary bees, each species with their own approach to life, their own unique evolutionary path. These are not what we assume bees to be. Even though unsociable solitary bees make up the majority of species, both in Ireland and across the globe, there are 77 different solitary bee species here in Ireland alone. Together, they demonstrate an impressive diversity of ways to be in the world. Some cut neat little circles from the leaves of rose bushes with which to fashion a nest. Inside such a shelter, the leafcutter bees can leave their larvae to overwinter, offspring who she'll never meet, though she will always leave the little ones a nutritious bundle of pollen and nectar, a welcome pack for when they hatch. The gold-fringed mason bee is a species that lives only in sand dunes, where they make their nest in the empty shells of colourful snails that they find scattered about in the sand. Tiny white-faced solitary bees are not much bigger than an ant, with black, almost hairless bodies. These bees make their nests in the tiny hollows of waterside reeds. Other solitary bees look like hoverflies. Some look like wasps. These are as varied as the flowers that they feed upon and are often excellent mimics. One of the things that all these diverse solitary bees have in common is that they are especially good at pollinating plants. This skill is unintended, a result of not having the benefit of proper pollen baskets on their legs, and so they can't help but be messy with what they gather. The leafcutter bees, for example, gather pollen by stuffing it in among the long hairs on their underside, which as it happens is not a very effective technique for holding on to pollen. So these solitary bees drop grains of pollen everywhere they go, losing a lot in a flurry of inefficiency. Of course, this means that each time they visit a new flower, they lose a good deal of what they've gathered up before. Bad for the bee, but good for the flowers. Some of the solitary bees are said to be 100 times better at pollinating plants than the much more celebrated honeybee. Mining bees excavate a shaft into bare soil, at the bottom of which they make a tiny nest in which to deposit their eggs. You might notice these little burrows in a garden or a grassy place, where the excavations leave little spoil heaps that look like miniature volcanoes on the ground. Cuckoo bees have developed the same strategy in life as cuckoo birds. They don't make a nest of their own, but instead lay their eggs in the nests of other unrelated solitary bees. When the young cuckoo bees hatch out, the larvae does away with the original inhabitants, before eating up the food supply that has been lovingly left for the intended occupants. So as the weeks merge from spring to summer and wildflowers abound, it's good to be mindful of the annual dance between flower and bee, to leave these crucial creatures the food and nesting spaces that they need. For many of these beings are struggling to survive, caught out by our righteous claims over every corner. Left hungry for lack of flowers, left homeless in a human-centered world. So it's good to remind ourselves that there's room for everyone, and that there's certainly no such thing as a normal way to be.